And we're with Christy Robinette. Her book is called Journey to the Afterlife. We will take your phone calls, stories, and questions next. And welcome back to Coast. We're back with Christy Robinette. Christy, anybody else in your family, living or dead, that had psychic abilities like you do?
Yeah, it ended up being that my grandfather was a sensitive on my mom's side. And my mom was a sensitive, too. She just was kind of under the religious umbrella that we weren't supposed to do this. And I found out later on in life that both of my grandparents on my dad's side were well-known psychics in the Florida area. He kept that from me until I ended up coming out of the closet.
So it must be psychic. The psychic abilities must be genetic.
I have done a lot of research on that, and it's interesting. I have Irish blood, and they say that those from the Irish Scottish descent often they're a little bit touched, if you will. So it could be true. I think that, you know, some people just are blessed with it. I used to think it was a curse, but I now do think that it's a blessing.
Why would a spirit or a soul not want to cross over?
Oh, for so many reasons, but a lot of times it's because there was unresolved. They feel like their world was unresolved. So we see a lot of those that don't cross through war, those that had been in a car accident, those that had committed suicide, and those just merely worried about their family.
Interesting take on that. But it takes someone to convince them to cross over, though, doesn't it? Those.
Yeah, I always say there's a light on in a funeral home, and there's a light on always in a hospital. So I always say if for some reason I don't cross over, I know to walk through to one of those because there's a constant portal, a flow of traffic, if you will, that's going to the other side. But there's people also that can help them cross over and find that resolvement.
You ever come across a poltergeist?
I have. They are not fun.
You know,
a lot of times there's a lot of conversation with, is a poltergeist an actual entity, or is that the energy from somebody who is just angry, the energy of someone here that's angry? And yes, I have had plates thrown at me from, you know, if you were to look at it, it would look like nothing, but it was an angry ghost. It was a noisy ghost.
What's their end game, Christy? What do they want, a poltergeist?
Attention. You know, a lot of times they just want somebody to listen to them. And just like everyone handles tension differently, they are typically those that handle tension in more of a loud, negative way.
Where would you put a demon in this category?
Demonic entities are a whole other,
And they're real, aren't they?
They are. And I have also, I always say that's the kind of line of work that I really don't want to do, but I have dealt with demonic entities. And in Journey, I actually talk about a black-eyed child that I had a connection with in Mackinac that was frightening. And some believe that those are demonic entities as well. And I would say that I do believe that what I encountered was a demon walking.
Do you know David Weatherly, who writes about the black-eyed kids?
Yes, I do.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it really, but it's so scary. I try to go more towards the light instead of all of that. But it's real and true, and I think that was my awakening to that there is evil in the world.
Well, let's go to the calls. They're lining up here for you. We'll start with Joe in Miami, Florida. Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Good to talk to you guys tonight. I would argue that a lot of this type of, a lot of the things that the guest is talking about, what's your name again? I'm so sorry.
Her name's Christy.
Christy is talking about is more of the imagination of an individual. Some people are more creative than others with the mind. And this is where we get, where I believe maybe we get all of this type of stuff that she's talking about. And why would a God create? I mean, if I started a company and 70% of it didn't work well, like the earth, what kind of God would I be? It sounds ridiculous and like he's the bad news bears of gods or something.
What do you think of that, Christy?
I like that. You know, not everybody is going to believe this, and I wish I had the imagination of everything that I have witnessed, because I would probably be Stephen King at that point. But I think that the end game is nobody's going to know until we actually have our afterlife.
And some of these events could be the imagination of a vivid mind, though, couldn't it? I don't think you could rule that out.
No, absolutely. No, I have looked at the stories that I have received from the other side and from those that have shared with me, and I keep a very skeptical mind as well with that, believe it or not. You know, I get calls on paranormal all the time, and I'm probably the first one that says, let's debunk it. Let's see if there's electrical issues. Let's see if there's, you know, some psychological issues or sleep disturbances. And I am the first one. And I tell the story, and we've talked about this before, George, is that when I kind of came into my gift, I did three things. I went to a psychiatrist, I went to a neurologist, and I went to my minister, because I honestly did think that maybe it was the imagination of my mind that I was receiving these. I see those in spirit in a physical form, so it's very much like a hologram for me, and to witness that is crazy. Absolutely. On the street, someone's going to think I'm absolutely nuts. And I would say, after that experience, I actually have a paper from the psychiatrist that says I'm not crazy. So, I just don't wave that on my website all day long. But absolutely, there's those that have a very vivid imagination. I'm grateful that I have the backing of law enforcement, and this is why law enforcement does not go, you know, out into the world and say, yes, we use psychics on cases, because then they're going to look as if they're not utilizing the black and white world, that they're utilizing, you know, taxpayers' money for this so-called pseudoscience.
Does law enforcement around the country, Christy, know you, or just a certain region?
I work with worldwide law enforcement,
which is really interesting,
you know, to deal with those in Sweden or Australia or Mexico, because everyone has their own kind of belief system. And a lot of it stems from their religious upbringing.
Do you sometimes turn down law enforcement when they ask you for some help?
I don't think I've ever turned down law enforcement. I only ask that I have protection if I need protection, and they have to kind of talk to my local law enforcement in case I need some extra protection on a case. I tend to not like dealing with local law enforcement because it's too close to home, but I have, and they've come to me and asked me for assistance.
Let's go to Gia in Cleveland, Ohio, east of the Rockies. Hi, Gia.
Hi, George. Hi, Christy. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I guess I just was wondering if there's any, I hate to be selfish, but if there's any family members that would come through or they have any messages that maybe I'm just not receiving.
I think it's probably for, you know, everybody. We're always receiving messages that we're not getting, me included. You know, there's that sign that says, if you're looking for a sign, here's your sign. They keep showing me that as if you're constantly getting, you know, that you're actually very intuitive. There's actually two people that are showing themselves hand in hand. So they would have been married. So it would have been a mom, dad, or a grandma, grandpa. They're coming through in a joint effort that are showing that they're trying to help you with a celebration that's going to be happening in the next couple of weeks. So there's either a wedding or there's a birthday that's coming up. And they show that. They just want you to kind of get out of your comfort zone right now, that you haven't had a lot of peace of mind, I guess. I don't want that to sound so generic.
No, I understand.
But they're just saying that they're worried that you're not feeling secure with your life. And
pretty accurate, Gia?
Very accurate, actually. And it would be my parents that would be coming through.
Uh-huh.
They're good people. They just keep showing me that there's just a lot of isolation. They want... You're better than that. You are. That depression and that sense of sadness, you know, sometimes helps us not find that guiding light around us, but you've got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
When you are giving these readings, are you getting help from spirit guides, or is this all you?
Oh, gosh. No, it's not me at all. It's spirit guides, but most of the time it's the spirits that just come through, if they want to come through. You know, if you're skeptical and you're closed-minded, nobody's going to help. You know, if I can't snap my fingers and make it, gosh, I wish I could. But that those that are more open-minded, my spirit guides can kind of bring their loved ones through in an easier way.
Next up, let's go to Jimmy in Asheville, North Carolina, where I'll be in a few weeks. Hey, Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, sir. I was just wondering if the entities that you feel coming from the other side, if they're always bad. Well, in the book of Luke, where it says the rich man being in hell lifted up his eyes in torment, wanting Lazarus to dip his finger in water. Could that be only demons that coming through, or what?
What happens on the other side, Christy? All good or bad for people?
It's not all good and it's not all bad. It depends on the journey and it depends on how the life you've lived here, you know, is connected, you know, to it.
Is there punishment at all for that? If you didn't lead a good life, are you going to be punished in the afterlife?
Oh, I believe so. Absolutely. Yeah, I don't believe all is forgiven. I don't believe in the light and love of everybody once they cross over that threshold. I do believe that there's punishment. And I think it's, you know, again, depicted in a comical way of, you know, shoveling coal. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, that chore that's being done. But there's mental anguish, there's spiritual anguish that happens.
Gina Maria in the state of Washington, west of the Rockies. Hi, Gina Maria. Go ahead.
Hi. First of all, God bless to everyone and everything everywhere.
Well, thank you
and
for that.
And I wanted to tell a story about my friend Scott. When he was dying, I went to him every night for a few hours. And the very first night I went to him, first thing he said to me, he had a big thing of balloons, and he said, would you like a balloon? This ties in at the end. So basically, he would ask me what's going to happen. And I would tell him, it was almost like a bedtime story, and I would tell him that he was going to see the white light, and he was going to have the animals greet him when he got there, and the animals were going to get to him first, and then his people were going to greet him, and family and such. And I was just telling him, you know, what he was going to experience, peace and love and all that. And so every night when I went to him, he would ask me again, what's going to happen? And so each night it became like almost like a bedtime story, and I would tell him the same thing of what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Well, the very last night I went to him, I knew he was going to die that night, you know, by the morning anyway. And so I stayed all night, and the first thing I got there, I told him what was going to happen. And then about 2 hours or so before he died, he said, oh, it's so bright. And I said, are you seeing the white light, honey? And he said, it's so very bright. And then about an hour after that, he starts talking to somebody. And when he's done talking to him, I said, who are you talking to? And he said, my grandmother. His grandmother was the first female race car driver in the state of Washington. And he said, my grandmother. And I said, see, honey, see, I told you. Everything I told you is happening. And then when he was dying, there was a lady friend of his there, and I asked her, can I help him cross over to the other side? And she said, yes. And she said, I've done it many times before. Go ahead. It's my first time. And my only time so far. And so as he was dying, I was telling him about the white light and the animals coming to greet him and his people coming to greet him. And I, you know, thought I was done, and I stopped. And she said, no, don't stop. He might come back in his body. Keep going. So then I had to just kind of, you know, the flowers and the smells and then finally she said, he's gone. And so after that, when I finally went home, I get home and I enter my bathroom and there's an angel light in my bathroom, night light. And I turn on the regular light and I look down and there's a balloon on my floor and it was not there before. Like he sent me a balloon from like that first night.
Sending a balloon from the afterlife.
Amazing. I love that.
Can they send objects around like that?
They can. Why it can't be $100 bills? I'm going to have to ask them sometime. But yeah, they can manipulate objects. And a lot of times it's those aha moments, you know, like where did this balloon come from? That we receive, and then we're skeptical and we ask for something else. So I'm for sure we frustrate them, for sure.
Christy, what do you think of the Ouija board?
Not a fan favorite, I think that it's intention. You know, when you're using a Ouija board, it's not the board that necessarily, you know, the portal. It's your intention that becomes the portal to whatever you want to speak with. And a lot of times those that were bad, they're not getting that communication from their loved ones. So they're anxious to communicate with somebody. And that's who you're going to end up getting through.
We've got Jake in Indianapolis. Welcome to the program, Jake. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Norrie.
You're welcome.
Christy. I was wondering, let's say somebody might discover that they have some kind of psychic abilities, and then they choose not to exercise them. Could that person possibly suffer in some kind of way?
I don't necessarily. I think that everyone has a psychic ability. I think everyone has a sixth sense, and it's very much like everybody can play baseball, but not everybody is going to play baseball or, you know, work out in order to get to the point of playing baseball. So I don't necessarily think that we're punished for not utilizing it. I think there's a lot of fear that still is out there. There's a lot of negativity that disconnects us from it. But do I think that your life is healthier, you know, while you're utilizing your sixth sense? I do. I've probably, since I have stopped considering this a curse, I feel so fulfilled. I've found my tribe. I found my people. I feel healthier and happier. And I think that, you know, through that you get your gains. And I don't think that you're punished at all.
You talked about purgatory earlier. How many people are trapped in purgatory and they just can't get out?
Probably a lot. And we still, it's sort of like those that need to, in the earthly plane, those that need to go to a counselor or need to get some assistance or need to go to the doctor, and they're too afraid or they're too stubborn to go do that. Think of that in that context of those in purgatory. They're still sitting there with their arms crossed going, you know, I'm not going to have anyone help me. That's not going to happen. I don't want to talk about that. And so they put themselves into their own, you know, their own room of a void where there's so many opportunities for healing, just like there's opportunities for healing here. We just have to let go of ego.
Christy, where do people get the book Journey to the Afterlife?
It is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books a Million, my website, ChristyRobinette.com, and it launched this morning.
That's
so
right.
It is now available.
Great timing. Great timing indeed. Have you ever been to a bookstore and you saw one of your titles? It's kind of a neat feeling, isn't it?
It makes me cry every time. Yes, I'm very grateful for that.
You know, we're going to come back in a moment and take some final phone calls with you. I want to get into some other things about people stuck in purgatory and how they can get out. That's probably be helpful information to a lot of people. Also, don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We've sent out messages just about every day about little things. And we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We are back, our final segment with Christy Robinette, as we talk about her latest work, Journey to the Afterlife. What are you working on now, Christy? I know you never stop.
I have a book about astrology that will be coming out hopefully the beginning of next year, and a book on empaths and sensitives that will be coming out mid next year.
In which you would be one, would you not?
I am, yeah. You write what you know, right? So that's exactly it. And there's a lot of, the world has really transitioned into this space where people are looking for some positivity. And I'm trying my darndest to try to add to that.
We've talked about some of the great things that you have been affiliated with. What's been one of the saddest stories that you've had to deal with?
I deal with sad every day. That is the thing. There is sometimes I come home from work and I just have my meltdowns.
Really? I mean, emotionally?
I have to reconnect. I have to reground myself. there's, the, again, you know, going back to the kids, I see so many people who have lost children or who have had stillborn births or who were able to hold their child and then for their child to have cancer a year later and for them to lose them. And I love my job of being able to connect their loved ones to them, but it still does, from a human perspective, it still affects me, you know, and I still do. I always say, especially when I get to the other side, you know, I'm definitely going to bend God's ear, you know, and ask why we have to have so much heartache, you know, in this world to really good people, you know. And so, and even those spirits we talk about that are trapped, you know, why are spirits have to be trapped? Why can't you just go right to the other side and live your happily ever after? So, yeah, it does. It impacts me greatly. But then I get to see the other side of it. So just recently I had a client who had been gifted with a baby. They had tried and tried and tried, and they had been gifted with a baby. And 2 days later, the baby had passed away just suddenly. And they were devastated, and they tried to get pregnant. And they kept coming to me, and I'm like, I do see pregnancy. I do see this. I'm not going to give you false hope. If I don't see it, I'm going to tell you, you know, what I'm seeing. And they just had their baby girl yesterday. And it's to see that, and the baby girl feels fine. Of course, they're on eggshells because they had that loss, you know, so suddenly before, but they're saying everything is okay. And I stay very in tune with my clients, which probably isn't a healthy thing, but I stay from social media and email. I keep very in touch with my clients, my clients' lives. And I sometimes will check in on them. If there's sometimes their loved ones will tap me on the shoulder in spirit and say, hey, send an email or, you know, make a phone call and see how they're doing. And I do.
Okay, let's go back to the calls and the time we have left. John in Tennessee. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, George? Hey,
good.
I'm a long-time listener and a big fan. Me and my wife, Amber, whom I adore. She's my best friend and love of my life.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
We listen to you every night. But, Christy, I had a question. I know you see some pretty hard things, you know, they're hard to deal with. How do you cope with that? And, you know, also if there's anybody trying to get through, like, do you sense anything about that with me?
Yeah, sure. So the way that I cope is my family. My family is my everything. I've got four kids. I've got a father that I take care of. And my husband, who I adore and who understands me most of the time and accepts me. And a lot of times they'll kidnap me and we'll go do some forced family fun time. So that's what reconnects me, you know, to the now. And we have to do that or else those especially that deal with the psychic world or the mediumship world, they can get lost in it. And that, again, is a reminder that we have to be present and we have to connect to the now. There is a male on the other side who's showing me a military flag. And so that is either he was in the military or he was just kind of strict and militant. But he shows himself as being admitted to a hospital. He showed that he had been sick, but it went very quickly. After that, he had a lot of serious problems, and he does show me cardiovascular. Legally, I am not allowed to diagnose, but he is also doing this tapping. You can't see me, but he's doing this tapping with your heart and just saying, make sure there's some genetic issues that stems. It feels more from mom's side of the family than dad's side, and to just make sure that you're monitoring the cardiovascular stuff, like, you know, blood pressure and cholesterol and all of that stuff. I don't see anything. I don't see a 911, so I'm not seeing that. He's very a responsible person, and he says, you are too, and he's a good person. There's another female that's kind of in the distance there too that's got a mother energy, but she's looking at me like I'm crazy. But this male who comes through is really guiding you. He's trying to help you with just life, just everyday life.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Hope everything works out there. Next up, let's go to Bakersfield, California. Hi, Patricia. First-time caller for you.
Hi, George. Hi, Christy.
Hi there.
Hi, this is great. I've been waiting to talk to you for so long. I have two questions. My first question is, a friend of mine had a coworker. He had passed away and they weren't great friends. But the person that had passed away came into one of his dreams and told him that he was going to pass away Christmas Day 2019. My question is, Christy, can the dead come and haunt you in your dreams and actually mess with you like that, tell you when you're going to die?
Oh, my gosh. So I have kind of a really quick crazy story that goes with that. My dad was gifted a very similar dream back in the 2000s. And he also was somebody who came to him that he wasn't really great friends with. He wasn't enemies with either. But he said, I'm gonna put the date of your death on your arm. And you're going to have to, you know, just live with that. And so he said, now look at your arm. And it had the, and the year was smudged. It said 200, and the last number was smudged. And so my dad for...
Well, we've lost Christy. Let's see if she's still there. If not, call her back, Tom. Christy, you still there? She's gone. We'll get her right back. And she's having, by the way, immense storms out there. And we'll try to get her back on and see if we can work that out. In the waning moments that we have, and those of you on call here, just continue. Let's go to the calls. Why not? Let's go to Deborah in Las Vegas. Welcome to the show. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I have a question for Christy. Have you got her back on? Or is
she's not back on yet, so let's chat a little bit. What was your question?
Okay, I live in Las Vegas. I belong to a paranormal team. I do research on the side. And I have picked up what I'm not really sure is a hitchhiker. We've got some audio and video of things, and I was just wondering if she could kind of give me a heads up on what it is. I tried to get through when you had Bill Bean on because I had gotten an email
right.
from him, and I never got to contact him and connect with him. So I was giving Christy a shot to maybe see if she could figure out what that was.
All right. Well, we've got her back on, Deborah, so go ahead with your question for her. Go ahead, Christy.
Hi, Christy. Thank you for taking my call. I work in paranormal field, and I was wondering if you could tell me what exactly is cohabitating with me right now. Have I picked up a hitchhiker? Do you have any insight to what you think it might be? You have picked up
a spiritual hitchhiker.
Yeah, you have. But the interesting thing is I don't see anything negative with it. So it's merely, you know, talking about crossovers.
That's a good thing.
It's one of the things that's just saying that you're supposed to help with that crossover. And they do keep showing me a female energy. And it's something do they have so I don't want this to sound generic, but they keep showing me a gravestone, like an old gravestone. So have you been doing investigations near a cemetery or in a cemetery?
I don't really go out with them. I do the client screening because I have a degree in psychology. So I'm just wondering, I've been in a few places with them. I'm not sure if I picked this up or did it just gravitate towards me, seeing that I'm the most
skeptical. Yeah, it gravitated. They keep saying 1859. So that's how old the spirit is. It's 1859. So there's something to do with a case that you're working on that they may have discovered a grave or like an old farmer's grave that's connected there. And I think that it's you or you and your group is just supposed to help her sort of move on. And I think that she's excited. I don't think it's, you know, the negativity or the poltergeist energy of it. And crossing over and helping them is just being compassionate. You're a compassionate person, and you offer that healing. And I think that that's why they're gravitating towards you. You're the type of person that will be in the store, and a real-life person will be gravitating to you, you know, asking how to make this roast.
Yeah. So, but we've had some, I've got some video in my house of a shadow person that we can't debunk. We sent it out, and that's why I was wondering. I was just kind of hoping it wasn't anything really...
I don't see anything negative. I think shadow people get a bad reputation for being negative. And I don't think that that's a fast and clear rule at all. I would honestly just sit down with the group and say, okay, we're going to help you cross over, be compassionate, and just call on their loved ones from the other side to come and offer that hand in the spirit to make that transition. And you'll find that energy will feel so clearer and you'll feel like you've done your job.
Let's go east of the Rockies, Christy, to James in Beaumont, Texas. Hi, James. Go ahead.
Yes, please don't hang up on me. These answers will be very important to me.
The only way you get hung up on is if we run out of time.
Okay, hopefully I wasn't squeezing to a corner. But anyway, James Prague, John Edward, George Anderson, when they do afterlife impressions, I don't hear any mention of any spiritual deity or Jesus or anything. And I usually hear of that during near-death experiences. Can you give me a short answer on that, please?
I can't comment on what they talk about, but I do believe in Jesus and I believe in God. And
I haven't heard James Von Prague talk about Jesus, though. He's right about that.
I have
that.
Not either. No, I haven't. I do. You know, and I always say everyone has their own upbringing and their own belief system, but I do believe in the triune.
Another question, James, or is that it?
Okay. I just haven't heard anything from the people that had passed over when they communicate with him. But anyway, my next one is, are there ever any instructions from those in the afterlife on elevating oneself spiritually on this side?
Yeah, and they do. And a lot of times it's just honestly love. You know, it's as simple as we see so much hate every day, all day, media and social media. And it's just try to love. And that's probably our hardest lesson is it's so much easier to throw that hate. I have had those on the other side describe Jesus and those on the other side to describe God and God light. And that is always an interesting, I have a story in one of my other books that talks about this lady that came through, her and her son who had come to me, they were both atheists, and his mother came through and said, there is a God, there is. And I want you to invest in looking at this from a completely different perspective. And I'm so sorry that I taught you the way that I taught you. And he ended up becoming a minister, became a Presbyterian minister, because he did explore and he felt like he did see the light, no pun intended. And it has helped him. So, yeah, I'm not sure what the others' beliefs are.
Why is it, Christy, that when you invoke the name of Jesus, bad spirits tend to flee?
They do. And when I do cleansings, I say the Lord's Prayer. And because that's
such why does it work? Why does it work?
It does. It's a higher vibe. They're a higher vibrational energy that can sort of clear anything out. And they do. They fear those higher deities.
Jesus, driving in Missouri. Go ahead, Jesus.
Hey, George, how are you?
Great.
Christy, how are you? George, great. Thank you very much. Listened to you for a long time. I was an officer in the night shift for 8 years. And you
thank you.
Christy, I just had a quick question. I always wondered the association between, I understand when you pass, there's tons of chemicals that pass through your body, one of them being dimethyltryptamine, and that is an active ingredient in a lot of what a lot of indigenous tribes use in, like, ayahuasca. I know you had that on your show a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I just always wondered heaven, the afterlife, and the association between a psychedelic journey.
All right, 30 seconds, Christy. Psychedelics, involved in any of that?
Yeah. Is that a good answer? Yeah.
That means no to me, huh?
Well, it goes back to the imagination, too, you know, and the psyche of how you're relaxing your mind with it. I've got a lot of Native American friends who utilize that, you know, to transcend them into a higher vibrational plane. They say it works. I personally don't have an experience with it.
All right. Thanks, Chrissy. Great. Get back to us when your book on astrology is finished and the empaths as well. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Tim Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burleson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.